I want you to continue to discuss some issues of ISHAS that you are going to face. Let me just tell you, first of all, we were discussing the issue about a woman and an affair. Let me just point out that really to fully understand this issue, I need to go back to a Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says that if a woman says, Beferish Gemara, if a woman says, Tameya Anilach, she tells her husband, I was Mizaneh. And it makes no difference if she's a Bas Yisrael who says, I was Mizaneh Baratzon, so she's forbidden to her husband. Or she's a Bas Kohen who says she was Nansa, she's also forbidden to her husband. But the Mishnah says the woman is not Nemenes Bichlal. The woman is not Nemenes Bichlal because the Rabbanan made a Takona that they were Choshesh, that maybe the woman is saying it because she wants to get out of the marriage and marry somebody else, although she's ruining her reputation. But there's a chashash of Shema Eina Nasna Biacher. So even though the Gemara in Kedushin says, the first thing is Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara in Kedushin says, if Lamaisa, the husband, absolutely believes her, he's mechuyev to divorce her because he believes her.
What about Shema Nasin?
I'll get to that. But that's the husband's cheshbon, meaning the husband can say, I don't believe her. And in fact, the poskim say, we're even melamed the husband to say, I don't believe her. If lemaisa, the husband, believes her, that's an internal thing. Again, this is a mudna psychological dynamic, by the way. Let's say, I'll give you how difficult this is to play psychologically. A woman, I mean, this is not a funny thing, a woman is married to a Kohen. She goes over to her husband and she says, I was raped. Now, she's an anusa. Now, if the husband believes her, if he mamish believes her, he's mechuyev to divorce her. If, on the other hand, he himself doesn't believe her, then even though there's a shavya nafshe, but the din rabbanan is... Shavya nafshe is a rule that when somebody says something is forbidden to them, they're not allowed to eat it. So if a woman says... this is chaylev, where a woman says, I'm an anusa, so the husband cannot stay, the kohen cannot stay married to her. But the chachamim were eiker
then. She was shavi herself to be, he's still mutter. Okay, I'll get to that.
But the question is this. The question is, if he believes her, he cannot stay married. If he doesn't believe her, then he can stay married. But you know, that psychologically, to basically say, you know, honey, you know, we'll stay married only because I consider you a liar, and that way we can preserve shalom bayis. How does the marriage work that way? Meaning to say, we're staying together only because I believe you made up this story. A little difficult. Now, lemaisa, let me just point out a halacha that is pashut, but some people don't realize this. You know, I hope you realize. Well, actually, it wouldn't work for a Kohen. I was going to say that if a woman is mezana with a goy, if a woman is mezana with a goy beratzai, She's not usher to her husband. So, yeah, but that wouldn't work for a Kohen. With a Kohen, for Keret, being with a Goy is another reason, right? That's not going to work. So even if the rapist was a Goy, whether the rapist is a Goy or a Jew, she is forbidden to her husband. So the most you could say to your wife is, a person could say to his wife is, I believe you that you believe this happens. I believe you that you believe it happens, and therefore I have rachmanis for you. I empathize with you. I want to help you because you believe. So the point is, so that means your wife is not a liar. She's just crazy. You know. So it's a difficult masif. It's a difficult masif.
The husband's lying, fooling himself.
Huh?
He's fooling himself.
Well, it's brought down in the poskim that.
If he knows, so he knows.
The getter is this. The getter that she has a din of two adim. They say from the Ramah is. She's considered to be two adam only if he believes his wife 100% in everything that she says. Meaning, even if he believes be'etzem that this story is true, if he's not miming her in everything, she doesn't have a din of two adam. Now, that still doesn't answer all situations, but at least in some situations, for example, if she's not accurate in how much is in the checking account or whatever it is, Mimela, she doesn't have a din of two adam. So it turns like this. So the Ran asked the kasha like this, though, but it's mashma that miikir hadin, if there wouldn't have been a gezeira of shema eina nasna biacher, he would be mechuyev to believe her. The question is why exactly? In other words, it's only because the chachamim took it away that we have to come on to a new rule only if she's like two adam. So Frekteran, Akasha Nidorim, right? So if any of you do Daf Yomi, you may have come across it. So it's at the very end of the Masechta. So the Ran asked Akasha, if min ha-Toyra he's mechuyev to believe her, and he's not allowed to stay married to her, how can the Rabbanan make a takana allowing him to stay married to a woman he's not allowed to be with? Even if the Chachamim have a koach to be oker a doraisa, right? They can only be oker at Doraisa b'shevi altasa, passively, like not blowing shofar at Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. But here, they're actively allowing him to stay married to a woman that min ha-Torah he's not allowed to be married to. So the Ran gives the following interesting answer. But then he's chaser from, because it's not a complete answer. The Ran says, maybe the way the Chachamim worked is the following. We have a rule that applies in a few cases, the Gemara doesn't say it in that many cases, called Avkinu Rabbanan L'Kedushin Minei. What does that mean? That when a person is Mekadesh, a woman, you do Kedushin, you only do Kedushin based on the consent of the Chachamim. That is the meaning of the phrase, Harei At Mekudeshes Li Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. So there are certain times where the Chachamim said, if such and such and such a thing happened, the Kedushin is Ki'ilu Nekar L'mafreya. So the Chachamim basically said, when a woman comes in and says, I was Mezana, since the Chachamim don't want to believe her, in such a situation, the Kedushin is Nekar L'mafreya, so it turns out she was Mezana as a single woman. So the way the Chachamim can allow them to stay married, really they have to get remarried according to the Ran, the way they're allowed to stay remarried is via the mechanism of Avkinu Rabbanan L'Kedushin. So the Ran then asks on himself, my answer explains an Eishes Yisrael, that's Mezaneh Beratzon, that once you're Mafkia, the Kedushin, L'mafreya, and it even answers Eishes Kohen, who had intercourse with the Yisrael, because if she's single, she's Mutter L'Kohen. But what if what she says is, I was with a Goy? So even if you uproot the Kedushin retroactively, she cannot be with the husband, so Afkas Kedushin is not going to work. So how could the Chachamim say the husband is allowed to stay married to her because of their Chashash of Shema Eina Nasma? The Ran asks the Kasha himself, and the Ran gives a whole different mahalach. The Ran actually says, Min HaTorah she's not believed. The only reason we would believe her is only Midrabbanan, and the Rabbanan took it away. Min HaTorah she's not believed. Because since once a woman is married, she is Meshubedes to the husband. to live together. So she doesn't have a ne'amanus to be mafkia, to destroy the shibud of the husband. It would only be a drabbanan that she would be believed. And on that, the rabbanan said, we don't want to believe her because of Shema Eina Nasna Biyacha. This is the run in the dorm. Now,
what's the tzad that is deraisa?
Say again?
What's the tzad that is deraisa that she's believed?
Well, that's a good question. What would be the basis? Why? What would be the hava mina? Why? The pashtus would be that the reason she would be believed is not that she's really believed on him. Really, there's no reason for her to be believed on him, but she is believed on her, because that's the principle that when I say something's forbidden to me, that shavia nafshe chaticha disura. So if she can't be with him, mimela he can't be with her. In other words, that would be the symmetry. She can't be with him, so therefore he's not allowed. He's not allowed to cause her to sin because of her. And that's what the Chazal took away. That's the shavia nafshe. So the point is this. The point is there's a certain disconnect here. Because when you walk away from the Gemara in Nedarim, for whatever reason, she's not believed. And yet the Gemara in Kedushin brings in this idea that if he trusts her like two Edim, I says you have to reconcile it. In other words, there are two different rules here. What we say, she's not believed. Bastin is not going to make him divorce her. That's what the Gemara in Nedarim says. Bastin will not make him divorce her. But if Mitzido, he actually believes her like two Edim, which the Ramah says means he's maimin her l'chol davar v'davar, then it's his egen achiyev, it's his own chiyev, it's his own chiyev to divorce, right? That's otherwise you have a pashut stira in the two sugyas. Bottom line is that all the poskim say, except for the Nedi Yehuda, which is a pretty big exception, but the truth is all of the poskim say that if a woman, even if a woman knows she had an affair, I mean, she obviously she knows, or she knows she was raped, if there is a din that the husband is not mechuyev to believe her, if he's then b'chiyai gavna, it is better for her not to tell him. Maybe in the case of rape might be different, but stamas not to tell him, and that way the shalom bayis will be preserved. She, absolutely. In other words, not only does she not have a chiyuv to tell him, but the advice is not to tell him.
What if they have racial bias and she knows that you really trust her on everything?
Okay,
and
so that's the question. So the question, yeah, it is a good question. The question is, let's say she knows that he's miming her 100%. Because the whole cheshbon, why they say not to tell, is because since the husband doesn't have to believe, so why tell? But you're asking in a case where the husband has to believe. Say again?
Not very ne'eman.
Say, I didn't hear you.
She's not very ne'eman.
Because she had an affair. Well, some people say that's for her, that even if the husband believes, once he hears she had an affair, he's not... Okay, but sometimes that's not the case, you know. So there it seems to be that the way it's explained, it's not a clear hesber, the way it's explained is that going with the Chassam Sofer, that you need, just like you need Edim to make Kedushin, without Edim there's no Kedushin, you need Edim to Aser, except if the woman is like Edim, she Asers, but she's not considered an Edus until she says, meaning, unlike two real Edim, meaning if the woman knew there were two real Edim, she'd have to tell him. But she doesn't become Edus until she says. So she doesn't have to say. There's no Edus till she says. Without Edus, okay, this is the svar that they say, the way they're masbid the Chassam
say. Is there anything according to the law that she has to say? Or if someone knows?
According to the law? What do you mean law? Secular law?
Yeah.
Why would she have to say?
The certain laws of disclosure. The hospital takes down, there's a rape, the hospital takes down, and
for a rape, that's a separate thing. For a rape, she probably, again, a rape, she would be advised to tell her husband because they should discuss it. First of all, again, let me remind you, if it's an Eishes Yisrael, a rape is not going to answer her bichlal, so she should discuss it with her husband. It'll help her go over the trauma. The only problem would be Eishes Kohen. Now, by Eishes Kohen, for sure, the husband is not mechuyev to believe her, If he does believe her, we get into that problem. So, by an Ashes Kohen, she should, if Chas V'Shalom, again, Chas V'Shalom, such a thing should happen, she should talk to her Rav before. She should not just go to her husband, because there may be a very serious problem if she goes to her husband, whether she would be forbidden to stay with her husband.
As a Rav in a community, if you notice something wrong, you shouldn't tell the husband?
But Derech Klal not. Now, let me digress, and let me give you an actual Maaseh Shehaya, though. Let me.
The husband knows that the Rav knew, and the Rav's letting it go on.
Well, this is the cost, right? Your Rav sometimes will be unpopular. Listen, that's why I ran away to Eretz Yisrael. No, the thing is, they're trying to extradite me, but so far I'm safe. The law of return. But anyway, the thing is, and I'll give you an actual. I may have mentioned this. Forgive me if I'm repeating. This was an actual case in New York. It was a legal case. It was a very, very severe case where a woman in a divorce proceeding. Told the Rav that she had already stopped going to the mikveh. In other words, they were still living together, but she said she wants to leave him, and she stopped going to the mikveh without telling him, or for care, she told him she was going to the mikveh, and they had the tashmish. So he calls up the husband, because he said, I have a chiyuv lafrusha mi surah, that, you know, if you're having tashmish with your wife, and you think she's going to the mikveh, I have to tell you, she's not going to the mikveh. Okay, so Beseder, that was that. Now, let's fast forward 6 months. They're in divorce court, and they're arguing over child custody. And New York State, maybe because there's so many from Yidden, in a lot of states, they don't really care if the kid's going to be raised from or not from, what's not green, but New York has this idea, not so much from, but the idea that a child should be continued in the same environment that he was rugged in. So the argument is, since the child was 5 or whatever it is, and he was raised in an Orthodox home, the courts, the secular courts, would give priority to Orthodox home. So mother said, hey, I'm from too. I'm Shomer Shabbos. My husband's Shomer Shabbos. So, mother should have custody, because mothers normally get custody of. So husband brings out what the rabbi said. Oh, no, you're not from, because I have Rabbi so-and-so. It was a very chashu rabbi. Rabbi Flam was a chashu rabbi in Far Rockaway. He says, no, you were boil, you didn't go to the mikveh, you're over on the chi of Kares. And he actually used that to show that she was not living an Orthodox life, and he used that as an advantage in getting superior custodial arrangement. In fact, I believe Rabbi Flam was subpoenaed, that he actually testified, he had to testify in court on such an inyan. So what did she do? So apparently in New York, this is really unique, in New York, just like there's confidentiality chiyuvim between doctor and patient, right? A doctor can't just say, oh, the patient has the sickness. There actually is clergy penitent confidentiality. That what you tell a rabbi or a priest, you know, you're not. So she sued the rabbi for damages. The whole thing is Mr. Rakar. I'm putting that aside. But she sues him for damages by saying, your breach of what I told you in confidence caused me to lose custody of my child. You pay me money, whatever money, you know, $1 million, whatever she was asking for. So, of course, legally, there's all sorts of arguments. This is only when you're coming to do tshuva. She wasn't coming to do tshuva. But Rabbanim were scared. A Goodish Yisrael filed what's called a friend of the court brief, amicus curiae brief, because, you're now going to hold rabbis liable when they're makayim, their mitzvah of lafrushe, miisura. It's theoretical. It theoretically could be a very, very difficult case. So, Lemaisa, the highest court in New York, which is called the Court of Appeals, the highest court in New York, potered, but they didn't fully resolve the issue. They potered by interpreting the secular law, that it didn't give her a right to money. It basically says, there's an isser, but there's no chiyuv. In other words, it's usser to be megala the confidence, but there's no mumanistic of chiyuv. But this was a secular interpretation. But the problem is, this is very schwach, because that was just interpreting the word. So let's say the next month, New York State Legislature will change the law and say there is a chiyuv. In other words, they got out of it because the law was not worded in such a way to create a chiyuv mamon. But that could be changed, right? So we're not out of the woods there. But the point I'm making is that nida is different than zanus. This is the Chassam Sofer's chab. Because nida is intrinsically a prohibition, whether there's Edom or not. So Mimela, if I know she's a Banida, I gotta tell you. The Chassam Sofer's Chiddush is that the Isser of a Saita to her husband is only when there's Edus, and in the case of the woman who knows, it's not an Edus until she says, right? That's the
Edus has
the
Isser?
The Edus creates, yes.
She doesn't say there's no Isser.
That's mashmos. Edim l'kiyume, Edim l'kiyume. Again, it's a big chiddush. It's not mashma that way from really all of Shas almost, that you need Edom Lekiyume for the Isser Saita. Otherwise, why does a person ever have to say anything? But okay, but this seems to be the Chassam Sofer and the Yamshel Shleima. Yamshel Shleima's chiddush. Right, so this is just to be aware of the Gemara Nedarim and the Sugya in Masachas Kedushin. Again, let me just remind you again, let me just repeat, because it is very important to know that a woman that's nivellus to a goy, beratzon, is not neseres al bala. That's very important to know. So, if a woman had an affair with a goy, then she is allowed to stay married to her husband, because we treat bias akum like bias behema. And just like bias behema does not aser a woman labala, so bias akum does not aser a woman labaila. However, legabe kain, it does not work the way. Legabe kain, bias akum will aser not only bi'aynis, but also not only beresim, also bi'aynis, and not only during marriage, even before marriage. A woman that was nivellus liakum cannot marry a kohen. And that gives rise to yet another big yichus problem you are going to face over and over and over and over again, especially if you are in campus kiruv. All of us know, I'm sure you've heard, if you're a bit of an Arzameach, you hear about, we have a shidduch crisis. Now, the shidduch crisis is normally described as a problem for women. Women, for whatever reason, there are more from women than from men. And, it is an issue. But there is one category of man that indeed does have a shidduch problem, b'miyuchad, and that is an older kohen. Right? An older kohanim might have, unfortunately, difficulties. And what are the difficulties? The difficulties are that, the older you get, generally speaking, you have to look for an older, a woman that's a little older, right? Kind of your age, right? When you're 35, it's not so pushy to marry a 21-year-old woman. And usually, if you're a Baal Shuva, you'll tend to marry a woman with similar background. Now, our problem is, of course, number one, if she's a grusha, then bichlal, she's forbidden, okay? But even if she's not a grusha, she doesn't have to be a virgin, right? That's very important. If she was nivellus with yidden, whatever it is, a kohen could marry her. But the problem is, if she was nivellus to a goy, even once, whether it's einus or ratzon, and certainly she is a zona. This is the halachic one of the halachic definitions of a zayna. And if she's nivellus to a goy, she cannot marry a kohen. Now, again, if she tells her husband after she's married, that's the sugya nedarim, she's not believed, shemayna nasna biyachar. But now we're talking about beforehand, right? I'm not married. There's no shemayna nasna biyachar, because if it's shemayna nasna biyachar, I don't have to marry him. The woman can marry somebody else. So what do you do? So the problem with that kohanim face is a very, very big problem, that many women who would want to marry them, or they could marry potentially, are puzzled to marry kohanim. So what do you do with that? So midina de gemara. Now here's a big question: whether halacha changes based on societal deterioration. Midina de gemara. Every Jewish woman has a cheskas kashrus lekahuna. Midina de gemara. And again, the logic is, when a woman was born, she could marry a kohen. We're mesupik, did she lose her status? That's the din of chazaka. So midina de gemara, if I'm a kohen, and she didn't tell me anything, I'm allowed to marry her. In fact, I'm not even mechuyev to ask questions. Now, if she knows, then she's not allowed to marry the kohen, but I'm not mechuyev to ask. So here is the thing. Many poskim, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, where they're more machmer, many poskim take the position today that it's very strict. I'm definitely not giving you a hachra on this, because you have to talk to your, whoever your paisik is. But many poskim in Eretz Yisrael, in particular, some poskim in America, have a hachra that because the immorality of society is so prevalent today, one can no longer assume a cheskes kashrus for a woman who was raised non-religious, who was in college campuses and the like. And as a result, every single woman is presumed to be at least a suffek pasul l'kahuna, unless there's some beerer. Now the question is, if she actually says, okay, this is interesting, if she says that definitively she was not mizana with a goy, so it, even like the machmirin, she might be neman, there's a makom to believe her, but by not asking it doesn't help, meaning to say, if I don't ask, I don't know. There are poskim that say faker. There is no cheskes kashrus unless she has a tainas bori and a rav or a beis din considers her to be a nemenes. So she could clear her name that way. There are moral people in the world. I mean, there are people who don't. Now again, it would also depend on how early she when she becomes frum. You know, at that point, she's back to a cheskes kashrus. But the problem is what might have happened beforehand. That is what some Rabbanim say. So some Rabbanim basically say a Kohen cannot marry any woman unless she is asked and specifically declares she was not with a Goy. Other poskim are still metal. Other poskim still say, Medina de Gemara, we are permitted to be machzik b'cheskas kashrus. So especially since our Kohanim b'zman hazeh are only called Safek Kohanim anyway. Now this is another aspect of the problem, and that is our Kohanim today are Safek Kohanim, meaning they're called Kohane Chazaka. They're called Kohanim because they have a tradition that they're Kohanim, but they don't have a Raya Gemura, and it's so easy to be puzzled if there's a Grusha in the family backgrounds or whatever. So some want to say that where Kohanim are only Kohanim Al Yedei Chazaka, you could still use the Cheskes Kashrus of the woman. So ask your LOR, local Orthodox rabbi, of course you will be the local Orthodox rabbi, but it's a getter, they don't call it Svek Seker, but it is a getter that you have two different doubts. Number one, maybe you're not a Kohen, and number two, maybe she has a Cheskes Kashrus, so you're a Mitztarev. Now let me give you an actual Maisa Shehoya, which is a little different. But
how does this thing work that we're assuming nowadays we're Mitzvah with the Kohen? Let's say 30% of her college that she went to is Jewish. Let's say 60% is Jewish.
That is an important chiluk, which actually means Eretz Yisrael might be more mekel than America, because there is a concept that even if a woman is a perutza, let's say immoral, so you assume she's a perutza, but if rove of the people she would be with are Jews, you would assume that her be'ila was from the rove, which would make her kosher. On the other hand, in America, where the rove might be a goy, there would be a problem. But then you have an issue. Well, how do you define the rove? Are you looking at the country? Are you looking at the city? Are you looking at the college campus? These are studim. These are studim that are very, very important. Meaning, what was the geographical area of her priestess? And then you might be able to go Basor Rove. You're 100% correct. In Eretz Yisrael, that might be a makom, paradoxically, although they're machmer here, but that might be a makom to be mekel based on Rove, Kishera, Metzla, or Rove. So these are serious questions. In other words, I just want to point out that if you're asked to be Masader Kedushin for a Kohen and a person who became religious during or after college, even high school sometimes, but let's say during college, you need to talk to a paisek about this particular issue. It is a difficult issue. Yeah.
And then you ask to be an aide
for it would be the same thing. Even to be an aide is an issue, because essentially you might be misayeya, helping them create a forbidden marriage. Of course, if you have an iPhone, it's not a problem, though, because you're a puzzle aide, so you're not doing anything. Okay, we'll talk about that. All right. I don't know. I get emails all the time from pretty chashuva people, and it says at the bottom, "Sent from my iPhone." So I don't know. Okay, I don't know what it is. Okay, anyway.
I go all the way back over here.
Yeah.
Just trying to find this thing up with this card. With this thing that the husband doesn't have to believe the wife, that she was Mizana.
That's what the Gemara Nedarim says. He doesn't have to believe her. Yeah.
Right, so the verb is that if he says he believes her, then she becomes Asr.
Yeah.
So that's a verb because he says or because he has to believe. What is the Shavya Nafshechatecha Deisura?
Shavya Nafshechatecha Deisura is when, I mean, L'chari, again, we can't read a mind. But it doesn't require, well maybe it depends on the lumbus actually. You know, the what I was going to say is that the iser is chal based on what the husband thinks, not based on what the husband says, but we don't know what he thinks till he says it. But on the other hand, I want to be chayshon that a little bit. Because the Ketzais HaChayshon actually says, what is this concept of shavya nafshei, that when I believe something is usher, it becomes usher to me? How does that work? He says it becomes like a neder, becomes like you made a vow. So it's interesting, according to that, Shavya Nafshei would very much depend on what you say, because nedarim are not chal with machshava, it's only chal b'dibur. So I have to think about that. It might be that even if he believes, until he says, right, that would...
According to the sound that it's about belief, and what's the stigma of Bezin telling the husband to say he doesn't believe? That's a joke.
Well, they don't tell him. They don't tell him not to believe. In other words, they tell him the halacha. So then he makes his decision. Again, you're right. I mean, if he really, really, truly believes, then you know, it wouldn't be right for us to tell him not to believe. But it's still brought down that since believing requires that you're miming her in every single area. And to separate a husband and a wife is a very serious thing. So we're trying to be Jewish for Chaker to see if there's any other area where he doesn't believe her.
Now, as a sarcastic,
this
is like more of a general question, but related to this. We're telling the wife to lie to her husband. We're not just saying that she doesn't need to say it. We're saying that she should even lie to her husband about being Mesana.
Well, why lie? I guess they don't tell her.
Right.
Are you talking about the Pidgin Aben question? I mean,
he said that about Pidgin Aben. I was assuming this applies. Let's say the husband, I don't know, let's say it comes up.
The husband asks her, you're having an affair, should she lie?
Did you have an affair? Should she lie?
That's a good question, but it would seem, once again, I mean, the same svara that says she doesn't have to tell would also indicate lying, because if she's allowed to stay with him, this is a classic example of lying for shalom bayis. Now, that actually is one of the cases where you can lie for shalom bayis. Ein lecha shalom bayis gadol mizeh, unless it would be a violation of separating him from avera. But if he's not mechuyev to believe her, she would be allowed to lie, lechayra.
So in life, whenever someone can just do something wrong and say, oh, I'll just lie about it then because I need a shalom. When someone can do anything harmful to anyone else, I'll just do it.
Well, you know, again, one should not be rugged in this. Certainly,
there's more proof. There could be more proof to the story besides just her word.
Yeah, there might. Yeah,
and the lepers have to give up.
There might be. You know, listen. The ability to lie after the fact is not a heter to do it in the first place. In other words, you're not supposed to do bad things and then say, I'll get away with it because I can lie. Doing bad things is a big, very, very big avera. Obviously, having an affair is a tremendous, tremendous avera. But, achar hamaisa, if we're talking about somebody who wants to do tshuva, somebody who... See, I'm not talking about a woman who says, I'm going to lie so I can continue having an affair. That's not... But if somebody wants to do tshuva, and this would destroy a home... So lying is a very, very sad thing, but it's better than the alternative. That's sometimes the situation.
There can be maybe interesting other cases where someone's doing something that's going to cause another person to be very upset. He knows if he does it, he's going to have to lie. And let's say he's not doing something wrong. He's doing something the other person will be upset if he knows about it. So he can say, I'll do it, and I don't have to be worried about lying.
Is the thing he wants to do an avera?
It's not an avera. So he's entitled to do, but the other person's going to be upset. He doesn't have to take into account that he's going to have to lie later.
I think you have to take it into account, meaning you then have to make a shikul. How important is it that I do this thing? If it's simply something that I'll have a lot of fun doing, you know, I'll drive my father's car, I'll do a joyride with my father's car, and I'll come back and just lie about it, then we would say, l'chatchila, to be machnis yourself where you're going to have to lie, even if once you do it, you have a hetzer to lie. You know, you wouldn't be allowed to put yourself in that mindset. But if you really wanted, you know, you did it, and now you want to do tshuva, that's a different judgment. Let me tell you an actual Maaseh Shavya, which was a different type of story. But you see what happens. These are friends of ours. These are people that we know. And what happened was, there was a fellow who married a non-Jewish woman. Not a Gerus, a non-Jewish woman. He was not religious. He married a Goya. And they had four children. And as is, Baruch Hashem, sometimes the case, the woman got interested in Yiddishkeit, and she started exploring Yiddishkeit, and she became very, very religious. And she eventually wanted to convert and do a Gior al pi halacha. The problem was that he always was a Kohen. He identified himself as a Kohen. He told himself he was a Kohen. His father told him he was a Kohen. So the issue is the following. The issue is that although nobody is allowed to be with a Goy, but a Kohen Bifrat cannot be with a Geiris. So if a Beis Nevuah, now since Geiris requires Kabbalas Mitzvahs, so what's the pshat? If in order for us to be able to convert her, she would have to agree that she could not stay married to her husband that's a Kohen. Because if she says, or he says, we're not going to separate, then even though the Aveira, see, if you were just thinking about it as pragmatically, I would say, listen, the Isser of a Kohen with a Geiris is much less chamor than the Isser of a Jew with a Goy. So in terms of being matzil them from Isser, better to convert her. I mean, you could have said such a Torah, but that's krum. That's krum, right. The Geiris is not chal if she's not mekabel that Isser. Therefore, we wouldn't be able to convert her. So the Beis Din alerted her to this possibility, at least. They said they didn't want a paskin. They would have to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein. They wanted to ask a gadol as to what they do. But they called her in separately. They called him in separately. And they told her, you know, there is a possibility that if we were to make you a Jewish person, you would not be allowed to stay married with your husband, although they had four children who also had to be converted. And she broke down crying as a Gioris, and she said, this would be very, very sad for me, but if this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the will of God, I accept this, and I will regard this as my Akedah. She said this. So they call him in. He was not really that frum anyway. And he just said, you know, he's willing to accommodate her. She wants you to be Jewish, okay, go ahead, be Jewish. But when he hears that, they may have to get divorced. He says, you guys are idiots. He just turns his back on the base and he walks out. But she was Makabo. Anyway, they went to... So I'm telling you, so before they did the Geiris, they went to Rav Moshe. This was in the, like, the 1970s. So Rav Moshe said the following. Rav Moshe said that how does he know he's a Kayin? He only knows he's a Kayin because his parents told him he's a Kayin. But since his parents were not Shomer Shabbos, he says, then at least b'makam kaishi, b'makam igun, b'makam, you have children. This is not a heter in dating, l'chatchila, but Rav Moshe said, in such a situation, you could be taila, that there's no ne'amanus, and memeila we go basar rov. And since most people, most Jews, are not kahanim, he is allowed to assume. Now, this became a very, very well-known psak. So I got a call, the Rabbinical Council of America has a Beis Din in New York. It's called the Beis Din of America. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And yes, it's a modern Orthodox, but it is a well-regarded Beis Din in Israel. Well, look at it, it has a chashuv of people on it. So I got a call, he says, what is this thing? He says, this person, the Dayan happened to be a Kohen. He said, what is this thing? Every day, he says, I'm a Kohen, he says. I'm very proud to be a Kohen. It's a hush of a thing, Every day, I'm getting calls from people who say, American Israel, they say, hey, I don't want to be a Kohen. Is there a way? I only know I'm a Kohen. They're all trying to get out of being a Kohen because they heard you get out of being a Kohen. Now, v'shteitzach, Rav Moshe's psak has to be very judiciously applied. It's a b'di'evit situation. It's a shas hatachat. It's makom egan. It's not stamazai. Some Kohen shows up and says, hey, my parents are not Shomer Shabbos, so I don't want to be a Kohen, so I can marry, I can go out and date any girl I want. But at least it's an avenue that needs to be explored, that sometimes kaihanim might not be actual kaihanim, and there are mekaymus to be a heter. Now, this person...
It's fine for her to convert that it's like being married to a secular Jew?
Say again?
It's fine for her to be proven to convert to be married to a secular Jew?
I'm not saying it's fine, and I'm not saying it's optimal, but that would not automatically be ma'akev the geiris if the Beis Din could be ma'amed that they'll keep taras mishpacha. Now, if she says, no, we won't be able to keep taras mishpacha, that's a separate question. But if he's willing to accommodate her,
this is the Nigris Moshe,
the Kahani Chazaka. Now this person, I know the family Baruch Hashem, they've been frum for many, many years. The husband eventually became very, very frum, and all of the children are B'nai Torah. Again, I will tell you, it's a practical matter. The Medrash already tells us, the Medrash, that the woman will be mashpia on the man much more than the man will be mashpia on the woman. If a tzaddik marries a rasha'as, the tzaddik will become a rasha, and if a rasha marries a tzaddikas, the rasha might become a tzaddik. This is the whole Tainan Yaakov Avinu, that he was Meinea Dina from Esav, without getting into a whole pshat, but then one of the pshatim is that Dina would have been Machzer even Esav Lemusav. And you see this over and over again. Unfortunately, there are intermarriages and they're always tragic. But when the woman is interested, even the Goya is interested in Yiddishkeit, she could have a hashpa. So that's why it's interesting that the non-Jewish woman who wants to marry a Jew will often be the catalyst.
Let's say you know somebody who's married to a Goya.
Yeah.
Should you encourage her to?
You should encourage. Yeah, absolutely. This is a tshuva already from Rav David Zvi Hoffman, the Malamed Lahayel. But you heard of David Zvi Hoffman? He's a very interesting person in and of himself. He was Nifter in the 1920s, so he was a Paisek from like 1880s to 1920s. And he was born in Hungary, but he was in Germany. So he's one of the late Ashkenazic poskim, after German poskim, after Rav Hirsch. And he was very interesting. He wrote on Bible criticism. He was a PhD. He was a combination of a very strong secular education, but he was considered to be the biggest Pesach in Germany. Just to give you an example, he is one of the great Jews, together with the Binyan Sion, about Reform Jews, Tinoch Shenishban, and different things. But the Malamed Lahayel says that although we normally do not encourage conversion, but in the case of an intermarriage, we can be proactive. Not to do a fake conversion, actually. We're not talking about fake, but you know, to inspire interest in Yiddishkeit.
This would be Makarov's name.
Absolutely. There's no question. I mean, the purpose is to be Matzil, the person from Mechay. Matzil
has been from Mechay. Families cut off their relatives.
So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky already said, the old minhag that many people had, that they would sit shiva if a child intermarried. There was such a custom. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, but there was such a custom. Should not be followed today. Today you need, well, we'll talk more about it, bepratim, but you need to keep some connection. Because if you keep some connection, it is shayach that they will come back one way or the other. If you break off the connection, you've lost them forever. In the olden days, once a person intermarried, like he was, he was destroying the connection. But today, people don't know it's so bad. So in the Mela, it is a way of bringing them back. And again, we'll talk about exactly what do you invite them for shayach? What do you do? But it is true that if there's some shaykhus, there's a way of bringing them back in one way or the other.
A little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Usually, when one of these stories happens of a raping somebody, they hush it up very quickly, and we don't talk about it. Would you assume that wasn't Berazim? It was totally blindness?
You can assume. And that's not always the case, but
so you need Saka or not Saka?
Bismanazah, we're not, even though the Torah itself talks about Saka, Be'ir, or Besada, but generally speaking, we don't require Saka, Bismanazah, because people don't respond. I mean, this is already a phenomenon. There was a famous, it's become an iconic case, it was already in the 1960s, it's called Kitty Genovese. You may have heard it, it's a famous, this goes back to 1960. A woman was being stabbed in a parking lot, and there were like 100 people saw from their window, and like nobody called the police even. So that becomes. But the truth is, there have been many mice after that, which work in the same way. And what would you, again? I mean, what would I do? What would you do? It's very hard. You're walking by. I mean, think about this. You know, you don't want to endanger your own life. You're walking by, and you hear. Okay, I mean, it's very hard to know what to do. You hear like screaming. You hear something going on. All right, so call the police. I hope the Cholapachas we would do. But would you yourself? And again, I'm talking to myself too. Would you yourself go into the place? Would we be machnas ourselves b'makom sakana? Are we allowed to be machnas ourselves even b'makom sakana? It's not pashut. So the notion of tzaka, that she's going to be saved by tzaka, pashut is not so true b'zman hazeh, unfortunately. So we assume it's behind us. We assume it's behind us. Yeah. Okay. So these are just some inyanim to be aware of. Some inyanim of ishus to be aware of. The issues of yichus are very, very complicated. They're murkav, and one needs to look into them very, very carefully, particularly with feihanim and the like. Now, another issue. I'll just begin. I'll be mamshich next week. Is what is the status halachically? And these are the questions you're going to get of either civil marriages, where people get marriage licenses and they get married in front of a judge or a justice of the peace, or conservative reform marriages and the like. Do they have some validity? And even if they don't have validity mitzad atzmam, but if the husband and if the couple is then living together b'derech ish v'isha, do they make a marriage via the principle of ein adam eiseh b'ilaso b'ilasinus? And what is the status of people who are living together without marriage at all? You're going to have that a lot. In our, I remember Eschata and Imaskir Hayom, that in the days when television was mutter, television used to be it's funny, when I was growing up, a lot of things were mutter. Candy didn't need, as long as you looked at the ingredients and it didn't say pig on it, you could eat candy. I remember in Eretz Yisrael, in Yeshiva even, they were selling candy in vending machines. It didn't have any hechsher at all. So I have to say, no pun intended, it's achsher dora. People of Baruch Hashem have gotten a little more sensitive about hashgachas. So, people watch television and the like. But, in television, there were certain madregas of tzniyas. For example, they never even mentioned, not just show, they never mentioned people living together without marriage. And they would never show a married couple even at the same time. But it was unheard of. I mean, I remember when I was like 11 or 12 or something, the first time I heard that mentioned, it was like a very, and today, what can I tell you? It's my symbol. It's not even like a rebellion. In other words, the society we live in, it is not even a rebellion to do it. It's just something you do. And right, so the door has gotten very, very porous and very, very shuffled in this way. So there's going to be no question that people will come, and people who even want to become religious, and they're living together without marriage. So they're going to be shyless about it yet. But I'm going to talk about it. In other words, so our next topic related is civil marriage, reform marriage, and living together. What type of ishus, if any, is created? But there's another aspect of the shaila. Again, I'm just mentioning it, shailas, and I'll talk about it next week. Is the shaila about taras and mishpacha, and this is a very, very fascinating nekuda that you have to be ma'ayin in, and that is, if people are doing averos. People are doing averos, and you're not going to be able to be mafresh them from an avera, but you can give them an eitzah that would make the avera less of an avera. You could convert it from a doraisa to a derabanan, or you could convert it from a chiyuv kares to an iser lav. Is it part of your achrayas to do so? Is that also called la frushe mi'isura? Or do I say no? Vibalt, they're going to do rishus, bein kach u bein kach. Right? The pasuk says, "Haliteil the Russia, stuff the Russia of the Yomus, let him die in his sin." What? You're helping Rishayim do Averas by making it easier? So let me give you one practical example of this. If you have a single man and a single woman that are living together, right? So the woman didn't go to the mikvah. So in addition to whatever avera you have with premarital relations, you have a chiyuv kares of being bayal nida. Now let's say you can't separate them. You know, they wouldn't, you know, they're not going to listen to you on that. Is there a makom for you to encourage, now you're going to have to arrange it with the mikvah how to do this exactly, but is there a makom for you as a rav to assist them, to facilitate them, to encourage them to go to the mikvah? Now, even that could take different forms. One form would be they would keep Tyrus and Mishpacha Lagamri, including, you know, 5 days and a Hefsek Tara and Zayin Nikim. That's one form, although that's not very likely. It's not likely that a couple is going to go that far. But then you can ask even more, because keep in mind that Nida D'Oraisa is only 7 days from the onset of the period, even if she's bleeding for 6 days. You don't need Zayin Nikim, D'Oraisa, right? Unless she's a Zava. You don't need Hefsek Tara. You don't need any Bedikas. You need one Bedika before she goes to the mikvah on day 7. So what about this? Now this is Nogea, by the way, both a single couple and even a married couple. Meaning, husband says, I'm not going to keep Taras and Shvach Lagamri, but I'll separate for 7 days a month. Is it permissible or advisable to say, okay, we'll bend the rules, we'll let you do it this way, to L'chala Pachos take off the Yisr Nida Min HaTorah, even though it's a violation of Takanas Chachamim? And in theory, you could even take it further. You know, you get further and further into enmesh. And that is, even if they're going to be Bayal Benidusa, meaning they're not going to be Pirish at all, we could still say, go to the mikvah. They're having Bayal, they're Iver Anida, but at least part of the month, go to the mikvah. So, the common denominator, I raised a bunch of questions, but the tzad hashava of these questions is, we know, of course, if I could persuade a person not to do an avera, that's a good thing. But should I get into the asek, where people are going to do an avera bein kach u bein kach, but I can transmute it, I can change it, I can mitigate it, I can change the sin of premarital nida to just premarital. I could take off Nida D'Oraisa even if I don't take off Nida D'Rabbana. Or even if they're Nichshol B'Nida D'Oraisa, I could do it that for a few days a month. They're not. Is it Kedai to be Metapel? Or do we have a Cheshvin that if Bein Kach U'Bein Kach a person's going to sin, Haliteil the Rasha V'Yomas? And does it make a difference if it's a Rasha or not a Rasha? Maybe that only applies to a Moreis, not to a person that's a Tinok Shenishba. Now I will say, again, we'll talk about this. This is a pretty important question. But I will say that they say B'Shem Rav Yisrael Salanter that for a number of years he would travel to different cities. He was often alone. He would be like the only religious person. He was an itinerant kiruv worker. He would go to Germany and France, and they'd be like, no from Jews there at all. So one of his stops was Königsberg, which is a German city on the North Sea. And the longshoremen of Königsberg were all Jewish. Just like in Salonika, which the port was closed on Shabbos, all the longshoremen, they were from Sparta. But the Ashkenazim were not from. And they would unload ships on Shabbos, a lot of malachas. So it says he spent days there showing them how they could do everything they needed to do with the Shinoi. And by a little bit of a Shinoi, they converted from a Malacha D'Oraisa to a Malacha D'Rabbanan. And Rav Yisrael Salanter held it was Kedai to be Madrich Mechalel Shabbos. In other words, they weren't going to stop, but they were willing to listen to the rabbi if he gave them minor little things they could do. Right. So we'll talk about this, but this is something that you're gonna be confronted with, and that's and of course you have to be mechalek. Just end with one final thing. You have to be mechalek between public statements and private statements. Meaning like this: naniach for a second that I can encourage a single couple to go to the mikveh. That way they're not benida. Now, does that mean I should put up a sign that says the mikveh is open to married couples and single couples who are living together? You know, that's a big problem, because what you're doing is you're giving a hechsher to that behavior, and you might be encouraging that behavior. Oh, I see, we now have a hechsher for it. So this gives rise to another distinction you've got to be sensitive to, which is not so easy, and it is a question of emes and sheker. That is, the things that you publicly condemn, you sometimes have to privately work with. Meaning there are inyonim that you do b'tzina that you don't do b'farhesia. This is a difficult thing. Let me give you one end with one little maysa about a different nekuda, but it makes the exact point. Some of you might know the Lincoln Square Synagogue in Manhattan, which is a very modern Orthodox synagogue. So he's not the rub of the synagogue, but the person who runs the outreach program is a very, very well-known figure in Jewish outreach, Rabbi Buchwald, Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald. Very, very, very fine person. So he once told me a maisa. I love this maisa so much because it really is when he started doing Kiruv, so he was offered to be able to give a shiur in a Reform congregation, not in the sanctuary, but in a classroom. And he thought it was kedai because these are people who would not go to an Orthodox place, but they would go to a Reform place, and that way he would be able to teach Torah. So he thought it was kedai. Again, I'm not giving you a psak in this right now. We'll talk about it. But he said, again, this was not a joint panel. This was not a dialogue. That's very different. This was not a panel of all different rabbis. He would be the only one teaching. So he would only be teaching Torah, but it would be in a Reform synagogue, or at least a room in a Reform synagogue. So he didn't want to get in trouble. So he called Rav Moshe Scherer, Zichrono Lebracha, who was the head of Aguda, and Rav Moshe was very close to Gedolei Yisrael. And he said to Rav Scherer, says, this is what I want to do. I just want to be sure that this is not going to be offensive to the Das Torah of Aguda and Gedolim. So Rav Scherer says to him, wonderful idea. Go ahead, do it. Wonderful. You should be Zeicha to be Marbitz Torah, reach people where they are. Great idea. All right. So he does it. So the next month's Jewish Observer, which was Aguda's old magazine, and I don't know if you know Rav Nissen Walkin, who lives here now, but he was the editor of the Jews, so puts in an editorial there about, you know, we are very concerned with the recent techniques in Kiruv Rechokim, although we understand that the Kavan is L'Shem Shamayim, but they're breaking boundaries and they're Poreitz Geder, and this is something that shouldn't be done. Now, although Rabbi Walpin was the editor, every single word of the Jewish Observer was Moshe Scherer. I mean, maybe he didn't write the words, but it all came from him. So Buchwald calls up Rabbi Scherer and says, you know, I called you last week, you told me it's okay. Then the next week I read in the magazine that I'm a Poreitz Geder. So he said to me, now again, I can't be mayor that Rav Scherer actually said this, I don't know, but this is what Rav Buchwald reported to me. He said, Rav Scherer said, your job is to do, and our job is to criticize. He says, you do what you need to do, we just have to be sure that you don't fall off the mountain. Right? So we have to be the ones that pull back. But just because we have to be the ones that pull back doesn't mean, you know, because it could lead to other things. In other words, you need macha, you need people to protest, you need people to taina, because that prevents you from moving too far into the next level. But the etzem dover that you're doing. Now, this lania staiti, this is complicated, but this is a yesod gadol miyod. Because this is really the key to understanding Pashkevilin and other types of protests against, not everything, but against this and that and that and that. That is, it's not always the etzem davar that's so bad, but there needs to be, just like you need a cheering section, you need a complaining section. You need a section of kanayim that say this is bad, because that prevents us from going too far. But you still need to go. You still need to go far, right? You need to push the envelope, as the expression goes. But then you need the kanoim to kind of pull back a little bit. So it's a fascinating thing. Now, again, you could ask, well, what about Emerson Schecter? Why isn't that relevant? Those are good questions. But this is what he said. So what I'm saying about the mikveh thing is a very similar thing. That even if we assume that privately you could be misayeya people, but publicly there are yonim of chilul Hashem that you have to be aimed. Same thing with the army. The truth is, even the army itself. I don't want to get myself in more trouble. You know, whether it's army, whether it's secular education, whether it's college, all of these in yonim, there's a certain public stance because we want our communities to have certain yesaitis. But then when it comes to yechidim, right? Yechidim have individual matzavim that have to be addressed. Some yechidim need to be in the army. Some yechidim need to go to college. And Gedolei Yisrael recognize that, right? So even if they say in a certain lashon of hakrozo, absolutely, 100% no, it's understood that there's a policy for the klal. And then for yechidim, we have to work with individuals. Right, so it's a hard thing to understand, and I think a lot of the rank and file don't always understand this, that Gedolei Yisrael, because the Ar Gedolim, have a great deal of subtlety and dakustic in their thinking, and it's not all the black and the white that people think it is. There are going to be nuances that have to take into account. So when you're going to be in Kiruv or Rabbanus or whatever it is, these are in Yonim that you have to be Aymed on. Okay, we'll stop here for a bit.